Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Linked the article this morning about Giannis, the Bucks, his future, and how the Bucks and the Knicks engaged in conversations about Giannis Antetokounmpo about 2 months ago in August. And the way the article is written, there's a lot here. It's a great piece from Shams Charania, and all of this information appears to be very, very new. So he reported that, you know, nothing really gained traction. The Bucks talked to the Knicks, and they talked to the Knicks because the Knicks, according to this report, are the only team that Giannis is interested in joining. That's not Milwaukee. And the two talked. Obviously, they talked over the course of a period of time, but nothing really gained traction. And again, according to Shams Charania, the Knicks never made like an all-out offer. And I think there's probably a lot to that to pick apart. The first part is they probably couldn't, given the contracts that they've signed recently. But this just reeks of more bad news for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah. And it's the conundrum that we've talked about a number of different times, specifically with Giannis and the Bucks. With somebody like Giannis, who is one of the great players your franchise has ever seen, outside of Luol Cinder, maybe the greatest player. Well, Oscar Robinson was on the Bucks too, but outside of these top three, right, of franchise history. And he brought the city a championship. Do you just trade him if he doesn't say, I want to be traded?
Yeah, like,
sometimes
you're damned
yes.
If you do, yeah. You're damned if you don't.
Sometimes I think yes, sometimes I think no.
Like,
you know what I mean?
You'll be the ultimate bad guy as an organization if you do it. You'll probably maximize your return if you did it that way. It's such a unique thing that I don't think we talk about very often is when you have a Giannis, Jokic, LeBron, when you have those one-of-one guys, right? And there's only a handful in the entire league. You could talk about the top 10 players. You could talk about all this other stuff. But there's a handful of guys where there's like there's only one of them and there's no one in their category. Giannis is one of those. You're in such an impossible situation as an organization where the pressure to build around that type of individual, Giannis, Jokic, LeBron, is incredibly, incredibly high. And then you reach this moment where you have to ask yourself, like, it's like, imagine, no, baby, I want to stay married. I love our relationship. I want to stay married. Unless she wants me. Because if she wants me, then I'd consider leaving you for her. Yeah, that's my, you know, that's her. Mm-hmm. But if not, we could stay married. Like, yo, what type of relationship is that? And the fact that it's talked about publicly is crazy.
Yeah.
And now whether this stuff was meant to be public or whatever, like the second, you know, the circle of trust gets bigger, it's going to get out. It's just the way things are. Shams got sources everywhere. And it's like a kiss of death for an organization. You need to have that star player, that one of one. Like, with all due respect, Devin Booker is not a one of one.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Durant is. And Kevin Durant has taken a lot of control over his basketball career, and it's one of the things, many things that people dislike about him. But he's taken a lot of control over his basketball career and hasn't wound up in this situation. There's already speculation about what's going to happen with Giannis. What's going to happen with the Nuggets? I don't remember. It wasn't Kroenke. I don't remember if it was their general manager. Maybe it was the other Kroenke. But they were talking. Yes. Then you wind up in a position where you got to train Jokic. What? I'm sorry. What did you say? What did you say? And why did you say that?
Yeah.
And it's such a difficult spot for the Bucks to be in. It's a difficult spot for Giannis to be in. Because I think Giannis is kind of in that Dwight Howard Orlando role where I genuinely don't think he wants to leave, but I think he also recognizes that this isn't the best situation for himself, and he doesn't want to be the bad guy. He doesn't want to be the one to do it. I think him saying, well, who knows, if we don't win, maybe I get traded. That's him manifesting that they'll lose and, like, you know what, we're going to trade Giannis on their own without him having to do it. By all appearances, Giannis is a very nice individual. He's a community guy. He's a company, all of that different stuff. And he doesn't want to be the Anthony Davis has never recovered. Anthony Davis wanted out of New Orleans. And one, who can blame him? He is destroyed for that. Rich Paul is still destroyed for getting Anthony Davis out of New Orleans. Giannis is in a tough spot where it's clear, like it is crystal clear, he doesn't want to be in Milwaukee anymore. He wants to play somewhere else, but he doesn't want to be the bad guy either. And he doesn't want to be the one to say, hey, it's time.
I think Giannis, I believe Giannis would, once again, he would stay in Milwaukee if the roster was a little better. Like, if he had an opportunity.
Oh, absolutely.
To get there.
Absolutely.
They've tried. Just hasn't worked out. They haven't been able to get another group in there that could be a championship contender. And I agree with you. Like, he knows, everybody knows it's time. We saw this 2 years ago. We talked about this 2 years ago. Like, it's done. The run that they had, which was a 5-6 year run in all actuality, has come to an end. They tried to keep it alive by getting Dame. Wasn't good enough. And now I think he does want them to do the dirty work for him. He's gonna have to say it. And people, the thing about being like the bad guy in that situation is, people who were there should tell the story correctly. Like it, there should be no, he's the bad guy in this situation. Like, we were there. He gave 10 some odd years to Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
They tried to keep it together. They're not. They're in a different place as a franchise than they were. There's no shame. And Giannis saying, I want to continue to play for more titles. He didn't turn his back on Milwaukee. He didn't turn his back on the Bucks organization. Us in the media should be able to tell that story accurately. Anybody in Milwaukee who, you know, would say something crazy to Giannis on the way out, or, you know, educate some of the people who feel that way to say, nah, like, this guy's doing something different. His legacy is different. He's trying to win championships.
Yeah, but you know that's not how it works. I mean, people's emotion are tied to their fandom, and like, it's like, if if the organization, I don't think we've ever had, I can't think of a player. You mentioned Lew Alcindor, Kareem. I don't even think him. I can't think of a player who was of that caliber, of that ultra elite, one of one category, mm-hmm. was traded unknowingly. Well, one. I apologize. I can think of one. Yeah. Outside of that one, it's not, and that's why the Luka Doncic thing caught so many people off guard. Like, it's never happened before. Mm-hmm. Those things are always mapped out, consulted, PR strategies planned, all of this different stuff, or the player asks out. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's like, okay, it's a game of chicken as to who is going to wind up being the bad guy. The Bucks are the bad guy if they trade. Like, look at what Nico went through. Mm-hmm. Look at what the Dallas Mavericks, their chairperson went through. That's what's facing the Milwaukee Bucks if they just up and trade. Now, maybe at this point, like today, right now, maybe this isn't an up and trade him anymore. Like, if Giannis was traded tomorrow, it would lead every show on the planet, but would you really be shocked?
Right. No.
Like, I don't, like, it would. There's nothing like the, it's not Luka. Luka was, there was no, it was just out of nowhere.
Yeah.
This is like, oh, wow, they did it. Yeah, it was inevitable. It was, yeah, it was like the writing has been on the wall, it feels like, for 2 years now.
The difference
3 years
between Giannis and why I don't, you're right. I mean, it's nothing is 100%. Like, there'll be people who just think silly stuff and say silly stuff. The difference between the guys that you cited and Giannis is Giannis is one. You can make the argument.
A championship.
Yeah, you can make the argument. Anthony Davis ran from the grind, so to speak, when he left New Orleans. Like, oh, you're going to leave. Like, they're the problem, and you couldn't get them. You couldn't even get them to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Dwight Howard. Giannis, is, to a certain degree, at least in my mind, is a made man. What you going to say Giannis was running from the grind? Like, he already went to the mountaintop.
Mm-hmm.
He already got a place like Milwaukee, a championship that had never seen a championship before. He had already done it. I'm not trying to say one is the better than the other or the same or nothing like that. But LeBron didn't even do that the first time. You can make the argument LeBron was running from the grind when he left Cleveland the first time. Giannis didn't do none of that. Giannis won in a place that ain't never won in our lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So if he wants to say, I want to go and I want to play for more titles elsewhere, there might not be. Now, SGA is probably in there. Jokic is in there, too. But outside of those two, there's not a more qualified person in the league to be able to say, yeah, I want to leave and go play for championships only. And people should be like, cool, we get it. We've seen what you've done in the place that you're at.
Is it odd that in this season, I feel like this season – is going to be a countdown to the Giannis sweepstakes next summer, because Giannis will have one guaranteed year left on his contract, and he'll have a four-year, $275 million offer in front of him that he'll have to say no to.
And that's why I wanted to ask you, do you think he pulls the Dame Lillard?
Sign the contract.
And figure it
ask
out.
Ask for a trade.
Right.
I'm going to say no, sir. Not sure. I'm going to say no. He doesn't sign and then ask.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of years to have that in play, right? Like, that's this year. He'd sign it next year, like so next offseason.
The offer will go to him, yeah, and then it would go into effect after next season,
right?
Best so case be scenario, 5 years.
Best case scenario, he gets traded. How do I break this down? So this year, he gets traded like 2 years from now, because I don't think he signs this summer and gets traded this summer. That's not even what happened with Dame, right? Of course. He signed, the played year a after. Year,
yeah.
And then got traded.
His contract, I don't even think, had kicked in.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
When he was traded.
Yeah, the extension had.
Which is why, like, asking for a trade in that moment, and that's the tough part for Giannis. You sign that deal, you've lost all your leverage. You have nothing. You can't be traded. You can't force yourself. You want to go to New York? Well, that's too bad. If Toronto offers you this or Charlotte offers them that, they can take it. Like, you have 4 years. You have 4 years left on your contract. What are you going to do? It was the same. It's the same exact conversation we had about Dame Lillard. Dame Lillard can want to go to Miami if he wants to. You lost all your leverage when you signed that contract. Mm-hmm. And Portland can essentially do what they want. And they did.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now Milwaukee is facing the exact same situation that Portland did. And I don't know if there's a happy return for Giannis at the end of this.
I think Giannis, I don't think he would do that. I'm with you. I don't think he would sign, not in any type of moral situation. Like you said, it would just take away the leverage. And I think that's just too many years to have this thing playing out. Like, we're going to go through all of this year and all of next year waiting for you to ask out. Like, I think this happens. I'm going to play it safe and say it happens this upcoming offseason. But some might start trickling out and swirling around during the trade deadline.
Mm.
That's just my thought.
And that's the Anthony Davis move, right? It was a year and a half before he was due. It didn't happen. I think he was traded in the offseason, if I remember correctly. So it didn't happen. Because he wore That's All, Folks.
Yeah.
That was the last game of the season, wasn't it?
I was trying to remember when that was.
I couldn't, maybe that was 2 years before. I can't remember. But I know the move has been, let's start this conversation early. And I feel like they did that with Anthony Davis. And that's where I think Rich famously or infamously said, anybody could trade for Giannis. He's just not signing a deal with you. Mm-hmm. He's going to show up. He's going to bust his ass. He's going to be Anthony Davis. He's just not signing a deal with you. So, yeah, if you want to trade for him for a year and a half, go ahead.
What did Rich Paul say again? What'd he say?
He'll play hard for you. You can trade for him if you want. He's got a year and a half left.
Just have flashbacks. That's all. Flashbacks here to Sacramento. I wonder if those same conversations were had. I'm just starting.
Probably.
And just talk. But yeah, what, Kings in Houston? You got a deal for, cool. He's going to San Antonio. Like, you can have him for a year and a half. He's going to San Antonio. Just like, tell me it don't sound exactly like Anthony Davis.
It doesn't sound exactly like Anthony Davis.
Well, I didn't mean really tell me it doesn't sound like.
Oh, oh.
No, I'm messing.
My bad.
Just agree. No, I'm messing. But so no, I think they're the same situation. We heard a long time before San Antonio was where he wanted to go. A long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I
well before the conversation started.
Right. Mm-hmm. I don't think that was a coincidence. I think he was, I'm not going to say for sure, just only going there.
Yeah.
But I think that was at the top of the list.
But do you think at any point over that year and a half, Los Angeles's interest in Anthony Davis would have wavered?
No, I don't. I don't.
Do you think at any point over this fictitious year and a half that we'd still be in right now, I think, San Antonio's interest in De'Aaron Fox would have wavered?
Yeah, I could see that.
So
I could see that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not my money. They're not my trade pieces. If I wanted De'Aaron Fox on my team, I would have traded for him. If I was Houston, I would have traded. If and I wanted him, I would have done it. If I was Milwaukee, if I was any, I would, like, no, it's fine. Mm-hmm. It, like, I get it. I got him for a year and a half. If you want to turn down the contract extension we're prepared to offer you this offseason, you can leave. Mm-hmm. Anthony Davis would have been faced with the same thing. His agent said, no chance, no chance. It's perfectly fine. You have to tell me no. I'm going to put a $230 million contract in front of you. If you don't want it, you don't want it. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to make you say no to this right. because I think you can help us win right now. And if it only works out for the rest of this season and next season, we'll shake hands and you'll go about your merry way. Ideally, we end this thing like Kawhi Leonard in Toronto. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to put a contract in front of you, and you're going to have to tell me, nope, I don't want that $270 million or $220 million, whatever it is. I'm going to go sign in San Antonio because that's where I wanted to be for significantly less. Mm-hmm. So go ahead.
Yeah,
perfectly fine with me.
And that's on the team, the other team side. I think what you said about Rich Paul and Anthony Davis – might have been pretty close to what was said
when Rich Paul was
talking about De'Aaron Fox.
Well, same client. Mm-hmm. Or I should say same agent, excuse me.
Yeah. But I got off on a side.
I did.
It just reminded me when you were saying the Anthony Davis, Rich Paul conversation to other teams.
I did hear Rich Paul once said while in Sacramento, he'd look good in the Lakers uniform.
Mm.
Maybe the idea was just get him out of Sacramento. Who knows? I don't know. But it's difficult. De'Aaron, to me, was a star player. We can, you know, debate the level of star to death all you want to.
AD like was different.
AD is very different. AD, I think, is a franchise pillar.
Yeah, especially at that particular time. Too.
Yeah, and it's and you. I mean, the LeBron thing was already happened. Like, we knew what time it was. You were pairing LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and they were looking to win multiple titles together. Mm-hmm. De'Aaron's not that. What's it say? Does it say anything about Devin Booker, who just has dealt with all of this in Phoenix?
Devin Booker
being paid very handsomely for it, by the way. Don't get that twisted.
Making $70 million a year.
I think it's $75 million.
What it says to me is Devin Booker is the type of guy that I think all NBA fans or fans of NBA teams would want the guy to be. Like, I'm here. I'm locked into this franchise. I'm locked into this city, to this community, and through thick and thin, I'm here. Some people might be like, once again, you're doing it because of the money or it's a comfortable situation, whatever his reasonings are. But he's there. Like, he's not leaving. He said he wants to be his son. He said he wants to be looked at, I think this was his words, he wanted to be looked at as like the greatest son or Mr. Son or something like that. That's important to him. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I like that. I rock with that. Yeah. What do you think about this on the flip side? RIP.
Damn shame what happened to flip side.
Damn shame, bro. We thought we had AI.
That day too. AI
flip side.
I'll never forget that day, man. We were just walking back and that car pulled up and flip side. It's tragic.
Out the little red tragic. Hyundai.
Yeah, it's tragic.
What about this from the Knicks perspective? Are you making this move at all costs? What would you be willing to give up? I think I got a different outtake on what I'd be willing to give up. Or not willing, but what I would want to, what I would try to give up.
Walk me through it.
I think
From the Knicks perspective, walk me through this then.
From the first thing that people think about, like, oh, Knicks trade and you got to make, oh, yeah, get Cat out of here. I would try not to move Cat. I would try to keep Giannis and Cat together.
Okay, you need money somewhere, so who is it?
The trade that I would try,
yeah,
I would put OG in there before Mikal. I would try to keep Mikal. I'd put OG in the trade, and then you've got guys like Josh Hart. You got guys like Mitchell Robinson and stuff. Like I think if you're the Bucks, that trade is going to be really centered around the picks.
Like, which you don't have very many.
Yeah, that's the killer. And maybe you need to get a third team involved or something like that.
So this is where you'd wind up having to trade one of those players you just named to acquire the first round draft picks to send back to Milwaukee to execute this trade. And again, Shams wrote, the Bucks didn't feel like the Knicks made a full court press. And the question we're asking is, maybe they couldn't. Like, you can't even trade Mikal Bridges yet.
Right. Right.
So there's that.
Because he's a January guy, right?
He's signed. Extension. Yeah.
But my outlook would be like, if I'm the Bucks, not that I don't care what players I get, but like, what is Karl Anthony Towns gonna do for my franchise? You know what I mean? Like, no shade to Karl Anthony, but OG, like, what is OG gonna?
You need the picks.
I need the picks. I need a restart. I'm probably gonna be bad, so I want to make sure I'm bad enough to have one of those top picks. And I want a Knicks pick or whoever the third team is in that as well. Like, but I'm really looking at the assets.
Could you maintain relevancy?
I don't think so.
Miles Turner?
Nah, that...
Two of those guys you just named?
Maybe in this year's East, maybe. Like, if it happened now. Yeah. But once everybody's healthy again, I don't think so.
All right, we'll come back. We'll continue to work through this. We'll check in with the Sacramento Kings as well. Trista Crick's going to be with us. Man, it was a great day for ESPN writers. Shams had that report on Giannis, the Bucks, and the Knicks. And Ramona Shelburne and Kendra Andrews wrote a terrific piece on Nafisa Collier and Kathy Engelbert. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that with Trista when she joins us at the top of the hour here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
D'Lo and Casey on the home for Sacramento Sports Talk, ESPN 1320.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
These breaks are too short. We're not starving over here. What is going on? Like, man, we start a little goofy conversation and Joe's, we're back. Like, what the hell?
I wasn't ready. I was not ready. Joe caught me off guard, too.
Joe was looking for the flag to throw on Kenny, and he's like, hey.
Back. Radio.
Yeah, radio. Radio. Man. We're back.
I think that flag was unwarranted, though.
You were just tell the radio audience that you were talking about going 12 to 15 deep.
Whoa.
It's literally what you just said. It's literally what you just said.
There needs to be limits. He can quote because he exactly.
Thank you. Thank you, Joe.
That's
a good official
that
right
one
there.
Was crazy.
That's a good official right
you
there.
You can quote.
Now, do you want to explain to everybody?
I was talking about the verses that was announced between Cash Money and No Limit on October 25th.
Could have phrased it differently.
I said
not to.
No Limit could probably go 12 to 15 deep.
I don't know if we...
Yo, just because I punched him doesn't mean he can punch me and not get a flag.
But
offsetting penalties.
No, but he said the same exact thing you said, though.
He hit me just like I hit him.
I'm on nobody's side.
Unsportsmanlike conduct.
I'm on nobody's side.
Offsetting penalties.
You're on Replay the verge of catching another. You're showing up the official. You can't show up the official.
You're going to get a fine. It's coming in the mail.
Like, what old boy do with the Seahawks a couple weeks ago when they caught him on the mic? When the ref was making the call, there was a pass interference on the offense, and the ref was making the call. He's like, pass interference on number 16, and then the guy walks by and is like, that's some BS. And the ref said, number 15.
I don't know how I missed that. That was the Seahawks game?
Yeah. If it comes, you could probably pull it up easy on Twitter. Seahawks Cardinals game. And he didn't say BS. He said the actual. Yeah,
for sure.
And the ref looked at him like, bro, if I had technical fouls in this sport, you would have got one.
That's terrific. That's terrific. Trista Crick's going to join us at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. I don't know. We tried to work through this Giannis Knicks situation. To put a bow on this. This is bad for the Bucks. Mm. I guess the good thing for them is they're continuing at least to attempt to build. They realize that this Dame Lillard, Giannis Antetokounmpo thing wasn't working. Decided, hey, let's move in a different direction. Let's go get Miles Turner off our rival Indiana Pacers and see what we can get here. Meanwhile, you've got a team who Giannis apparently acknowledged to Bucks ownership that lost in the first round 3 years in a row. And, you know, there's injuries at play, Giannis injuries, Dame injuries. There's a lot of different things at play as to why that winds up happening. But Giannis expressed concerns about this team being good enough to win a championship. And he has been adamant, I want to win another championship. It's interesting to me because Giannis is in that upper echelon category as we laid out. Nikola Jokic is there with him. I never look at those guys and think they have to win another title. I think that happens with Kevin Durant because where he won his two titles. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not that he doesn't have enough. It's where he won them. LeBron has to win more because he's compared to a guy who has six. Hell, Kobe and Tim Duncan have five. Mm-hmm. Steph certainly doesn't need another title, but five gets him to Kobe and Tim Duncan. It's almost like the idea of six eliminated. You're not doing it. But if you get to five and you're with the Spurs and the Lakers and Kobe and Duncan, like you're in good shape. But Giannis and even Jokic, I never look at those two like, yeah, but they only won one title. Mm-hmm. Like Giannis winning a title with the Milwaukee Bucks in the way that the league is today, that's a big deal. Mm-hmm. Nikola Jokic winning a championship with the Denver Nuggets with the way that the league is today is pretty special. I understand what they want to do, specifically Giannis. I don't know what Jokic wants to do. But I want to win. I understand that. I have never looked at Giannis and thought, man, he needs to win another ring or whatever.
Yeah, no, I don't look at those guys any type of way as well, especially just winning the one in general. It doesn't matter, you know, if they got one, two, or three. They've got the one in Milwaukee, in Denver, when you talk about Jokic, with the teams that drafted them and brought them and drafted them in hopes of them doing just that, right? Bringing that championship there. So they're certified and verified in my mind. But I do, and I think, I don't want to speak for you, but I think you would agree. I do understand a guy like Giannis, particularly in this situation, saying, man, I played for championships, dog. Mm-hmm. I played for championships. And you want me to stay here and, like, be in the play-in? Mm. No, no. And I'm, what is he, like 29, maybe 30 or something like that?
I think he's 30, yeah.
And I'm 30. Like, no. I only want to play for championships. And we talked about it with Eddie a couple weeks ago. There are maybe 10 guys in the league that the only level of success is winning a championship. At the very least, playing for a championship. If you didn't win it or get to the finals, that was a failure of a season.
Mm-hmm.
Giannis is in that boat.
Mm.
He's in that boat. He's that good. He's looked at it that way. We talk about Joe, I maybe, and others, and I'm not calling him a failure, but you get what I'm saying when I say this. Look at him as a failure of a career because he ain't got past the second round.
Right.
Like, that's unacceptable. The fact that he was in the playoffs every year and didn't get past, that's unacceptable. Giannis is in that boat. Joel was in that boat. Jokic is in that boat. Luka, LeBron, KD. Do we look? I think Steph looks at it that way. Do we, as a general public, look at Steph's situation that way?
Where
I think
they if he doesn't win, it's a failure.
Yeah, I think he gets grace.
I think I think he does.
He does for sure.
I think once you've won a title, that's all you're playing for anymore.
Right.
I don't look at Luka that way though. Maybe it's because he's never won one. Like Luka, like if it's the Lakers now. So if I looked at the Lakers from the Luka perspective and they lost in the conference finals this year, I'm not like, oh man, what a failure by Luka Doncic. Mm. I'm looking at it, well, it's a lost season for LeBron. He needed that one more. While it's the same result for both guys, I think the impact is different. I think if you start getting into losing the Western Conference Finals, Eastern Conference Finals, multiple times in a row, and that's what ultimately Milwaukee is, you lost in the first round multiple times in a row. If you had lost in the first round, the semis, the conference finals, or you lost in the first round, the conference finals, the first round, the final, whatever, like it's different. Right. You look stuck right now.
Yeah.
And because you have that guy, it's like, hey, what are you doing? That's why I don't have an issue with the Dame Lillard thing. Like, yeah, you weren't going anywhere with this. He didn't want to be there. That was obvious from jump. Now it's very clear you didn't want him there, and you were ready to kind of pull the cord on this pretty quickly. So, yeah, I'm perfectly fine with it. If you think Miles Turner is the answer or you're just trying something to appeal, fine, great. Like, they're not just sitting on their hands. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talk about LeBron, like LeBron signing those one plus ones while he's in Cleveland. It's like, no, because you can't skimp on, you have to pay guys. Mm-hmm. And Richard Jefferson was really good for us. You got to sign him to an extension. Tristan Thompson was really good for us. You need to sign him to a massive extension. Matthew Dellavedova, like J.R. Smith, all of those guys signed extensions with Cleveland because of LeBron's 1+1. Mm-hmm. These guys, no one else in the league, since I'm taking my talents to South Beach, has operated that way. They've all signed the big deal, then asked for a trade, or got the trade in time to where they can sign their maximum deal with their new team. Only one guy who hasn't, though. Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi is the only guy who didn't sign the biggest contracts that he could sign.
Yeah.
So everyone else has been playing this game where they want the leverage that LeBron created with these teams, but they wouldn't do the things that LeBron James did to create this leverage. They're signing. Dame Lillard, you want to force Portland's hand, sign a 1+1. You chose not to do that. You signed a 4-year extension with 2 years left on your deal. Right. You have no leverage. You sign a 4-year contract, you have no leverage. Mm-hmm. Giannis comes up this summer and he says, you know what? This was a good year. I love what we did with Miles Turner, but just to ensure we're doing things the right way, I'm going to sign a contract for 1 year. Hmm. And I'll sign a 1+1 with a player option at the end of this. And I'm going to do that with the belief you're going to continue to add to this team. And if you do, and we continue to progress, I'm here. If not, I'm out.
Yeah.
And you get nothing. You have no control over this. But no one has been willing to do that. They've all went and got their money. Nothing wrong with it, but don't expect LeBron James leverage when you won't make LeBron James level plays.
Right, right. Yeah, and you know, you talk about the Bucks and their side of things. I don't fault them in any way. I don't look at them like, hey, you didn't put enough around them. I know, I think Kyle was talking about it earlier, like, you know, talking about their big move was to go get Miles Turner. Like, what was that? They don't have any moves. They put all their chips, the chips that they had left, into Dame Lillard. And it didn't work. It didn't work. A lot of people thought they should have kept Drew. I thought at that particular time that was finished. The Drew Holiday, Middleton, Giannis situation. I thought that was over. I thought you had to choose between Drew and Middleton. I probably would have traded Middleton, but he was tough to trade because he was having knee issues at that point. Mm-hmm. So their only real move was to trade Drew Holiday and see if it would work.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't. That's the other aspect of their story is if Chris Middleton doesn't have chronic knee problems, maybe their window is open a little longer. And Chris Middleton with Dame Lillard and Giannis might be a team that's a true championship contender. But number one, Chris Middleton kept getting hurt. Number two, Giannis and Dame got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Both
separately.
Both during the two runs, Dame got hurt in both playoff appearances. Giannis just in one, I believe. Yeah, the Achilles was not last year, the year before. I was of the belief that when you get them in a playoff situation, you still might be able to make something happen.
Mm-hmm.
But we never got a chance to see it. And I don't think that's anybody's fault because we're talking about injuries that took place with those two guys. So the Bucks, I think the Bucks did about as good as you could do in that situation. They tried. It didn't work. It just didn't work. And now you're at the point where it's over and you've got to figure out what the next move is.
Do you know what team Chris Middleton plays for right now?
I want to say the Miami Heat, but it might be the Washington Wizards.
The Wizards.
Yeah.
I was like, Chris Middleton, what team does he play for? Then I remember Kyle Kuzma's on the Bucks. Oh, it was – got it.
Didn't he get traded to the Heat, or was that just a three-teamer?
Did he get traded to the Heat?
I don't know.
Boy, you go – all I know, you go to Washington, you go to die. Chris Middleton, he's the Wizards.
No, I mean, not at this particular time, but I thought he got traded to the Heat and then traded to the Wizards, but I was wrong.
Is this like when we found out Mike Bibby had that like one day stint with, I don't even remember what team it was.
The Heat, I think. Not the Heat. It was the Wizards.
See, you go to Washington, you go to die.
But the Wizards thing, the Wizards, he was there for a while. Atlanta.
No, Mike was there a couple days.
Atlanta, he was there longer than we thought. There was a place where we thought he was there for like a day, and it was, he played like 20 games.
What I missed was the order in which he went, like from, I thought he got bought out by Atlanta and went to New York. He actually got traded to Washington, got bought out, gave up nothing. And then I think went to New York from there, and then Miami after that.
Miami and the Knicks were the last two spots. I can't remember which was which. I think it was New York, or excuse me, Miami, then New York.
Miami, then New York. He took the buyout to go to New York, and I thought he took, or maybe he took the buyout to go to Miami, and I thought he took the buyout to New York.
Yeah, he played. Here we go.
The Chronicles of Mike Bibby.
He played two games in Washington.
It's amazing. And then, so it was Washington, and then
Miami, then New York.
Miami, then New York
was his final spot.
All right, let's bring in Trista Crick. I can't tell if this car is moving or not. It is. This car is moving.
We on the move.
Let's be clear. Trista Crick is not driving right now. So
I'm in an Uber.
You're in an Uber.
In the front seat, though?
I'm in the back seat.
Oh, okay. Like the front seat.
Yeah. Okay. No. That's you got room back there. Where are you going? Where are you?
I am in, what is this city? I'm in New York.
Oh,
I'm sorry. You didn't know that you were in New York?
Well, I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure whether I was in Queens or what I was, where I was at, to be more specific. So I just went very broad. I just flew into JFK. And I am.
One, congratulations. I'm very happy you were able to fly somewhere with air traffic control
I heard about I heard about Burbank. Burbank is like, they talking about it's done right now.
Burbank just went back to work this morning.
Oh, they went back
this morning. Yeah. It's bad.
Well, didn't have a gate. We didn't have a gate for like 40 minutes. So we sat on the jetway for a hot minute.
She just got on a random plane.
Yeah, but you landed. The fact that you landed.
We landed. We all clapped. We did get there. So.
I would too. I probably would have cried. What do you win New York for? You are one of the most interesting people I know.
Be everywhere.
I don't think that's true.
You're just like, no, I'm in where am I? New York. I think I'm in New York right now. Yeah, no, I'm in an Uber in New York. It's fine. Just landed.
I saw the email. I was scrolling the email. I forgot what day it was. I looked at the email. I was like, oh my God, it's Tuesday.
Well, it's great. I forgot Jesse's not here and sent the email like 10 minutes ago.
But it's good that you did, because it was up high enough on the emails that I saw it. If it was like at 11 a.m., I might have missed it. I would have gotten a text being like, are you on with us?
Yeah, you would have. Are you in New York to help execute this Giannis to Knicks trade?
How did you know?
Yeah, I thought so.
We're giving
Gotta call
free,
in the closers.
Free tzatziki for life. There's plenty. We're going to show him around Queens, which is in Astoria, which is a Greek town. We're going to get him some lobster spaghetti and take him into the precious gemstone, the energy stone shops that are at a plethora in Astoria. That's the plan. No, there's a women's track event this week called Athlos, where it'll be Shakari and Gabby and all the top names. Doing a track and field event. The field will be at Times Square on Thursday. The track event will be out at Icon Stadium in the Bronx, I believe. Pretty sure that's where it is. So that's number one. I'm hosting fantasy football pregame with Matthew Berry on Sunday.
There we go.
So everybody from the chatty house, I know there were some folks in the chatty house that got onto YouTube and was very supportive the last time I was there. This will be 2 hours at 11 a.m. Eastern, so it'll be kind of early on the West Coast.
Got to get up. It's all good.
But you guys are up anyway for games that start at 10. So, you know, give fantasy football questions to me. My team is a mess. I needed 2 Trevor Lawrence rushing touchdowns in order to win my matchup last night by 1 point.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay. That's where I was at. I had multiple zeros on the. What? So I'll be doing that. And then Meta's hosting a little event next week. So I'm going to stay out here and meet the new head of Threads for a little cocktail hour or whatever mixer. And then hopefully we get a game 6, and then I'll go straight to Phoenix for game 6.
Oh, how adorable. I think you're getting hopefully. That.
How adorable that you
think you're getting that.
Listen, the Asia Wilson Finals MVP ticket is alive.
Oh yeah.
Well, Jackie trying to make a move.
It's alive.
I have Jackie too. I have her at 25-1.
Oh, you're good though. You're winning money one way or another.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're good.
Game one, not in the moment, but after game two, game one felt like the J.R. Smith
pivotal.
Game. Yeah, you remember, like, because if you remember that, like, everyone remembers LeBron's reaction to J.R. Smith. What that was they were severe underdogs. They had a chance to steal that game, win it, create some momentum. They lost it. Alyssa Thomas, I think it was Alyssa, at the free throw line with 24 seconds left.
Two free throws.
Misses both of them.
She actually did that in the first game of the first series against Liberty as well. Smoked two free throws. It turns out that having two torn labrums actually does impede your ability to play basketball at times.
A little bit. Just a little bit. Trista, matter of fact, Trista all over the place. We might get Trista out here November 10th. That look like a Trista special.
The UCLA?
What's the game? Is it Lakers?
No, it's UCLA and Oklahoma women's basketball playing here.
Ooh, that actually sounds like a good time to meet up with Momo, who apparently is asking for me. Morgan.
Morgan, yeah.
So, yes. Not Reagan,
yeah,
but
my Morgan, 4-year-old Morgan is a big
3-year-old
Trista.
Morgan. Yeah. That would be a good time to come to Sacramento. We'll see. I think I might be on the East Coast for that too. That's another fantasy football pregame date. I want to say I'm not sure, but that would be a good one.
We got Ty Dolla Sign 4 days after that.
We do.
And Ty Dolla Sign. Yeah, G-Eazy, Jacquees. Yeah, that's a big week for D-Lo and KC.
G-Eazy and the king of R&B, Jacquees.
Thank you. That's right. That's right.
Thank you for showing respect to the king of R&B.
Come on. Jacquees is one of the legends, man.
That's my point.
He absolutely is. He sells out Sacramento 10 times out of 10. The point in all of that game one the breakdown was that's not what game two looked like. And I don't know how many games this series is going, but I don't think it's going six.
And guess what? And you know what? If you want to make another NBA comparison, game 7, Eastern Conference Semifinals, 2021, Ben Simmons passing up open layup to lose the game, and that is what Alyssa Thomas was doing all game in game two. Wasn't aggressive, was extremely tentative, very unlike herself. I think she's got an injury in her hand. She was squeezing it in game one. She had an MRI on it. They said it was clean, but what does clean really mean other than just not broken, right? It doesn't mean necessarily that you're not effed up in the game, and I think that she's effed up in the game, really.
It's all bad.
The article that Ramona Shelburne and Kendra Andrews wrote this morning on Nafisa Collier and Kathy Ebert was
incredible.
Terrific. Absolutely terrific. This situation is about to come to a head here in a minute with the WNBA and the CBA. Where do you think the players, do you think given what has happened and what we learned today with this meeting being scheduled between Nafisa Collier and Kathy Engelbert, and Nafisa calling this meeting off after Kathy Engelbert said publicly that she did not make those comments about Caitlin Clark, essentially saying Nafisa was a liar. Do you think that the Players Association gets together and says, you know what, we're not even negotiating a collective bargaining agreement until she's gone?
Yeah, that's what I thought as soon as Nafisa made that exit interview, and the way that everyone was talking was like they had already had that conversation about her. It was like the like most, I guess, open secret that a lot of us didn't really quite know is like how hated and disrespected she is by the players. And I think the like stud buds dancing with her during the first day of the WNBA All-Star Weekend made us kind of think that maybe she was cooler than we all anticipated that a Deloitte and Touche former accountant would be. But no, she's the ops. And like when Nafisa Collier is saying you're the ops, you are like severely screwed. So I think she had the ability to maybe patch it up by saying, you know, I really regret what I said, and it was not exactly the way that I meant it, but I really realized that was just a terrible way to frame the players and the relationship with the league. But no, she was like, that is not, that's fake news. She basically was like, that's fake news. That's, there's a lot of inaccuracies with the reporting. And it's not reporting. Like, there is no reports. Nafisa Collier said she spoke to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you told her that. That's not what reporting is. Reporting is like, she said that, it would be like if I said Nafisa heard that from mm-hmm. from Kathy Engelbert. This is
the Daily W
the
reports.
This is the plug.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on. This is not Shams. This is like direct. So she's basically, like you said, called her a liar. Multiple occasions that there's been multiple inaccuracies with what Nafisa Collier said. And so at that point, if I'm Nafisa, I'm like, I'm not meeting with this chick. Get out of here. I'm not doing this with you again. And so, yeah, I felt like as soon as those comments were made, it was kind of like, oh, yeah, if I'm them, if I'm the PA, it's like, well, we're just not going to have any conversations or any meetings until you guys clean this thing up. But ultimately, though, I think Adam Silver is going to do what I think Adam Silver is best at, which is pretend and finesse like he's a player-friendly commissioner and make and install someone who has a friendly face and can say the right words and is really good at marketing and try and screw the players still. That is what I believe will happen, is that they'll get rid of her as a quote-unquote concession and then use that as, like, a piece of the negotiations. Like, well, we got rid of who you guys wanted us to get rid of with haste. And it's like, well, that has nothing to do with our money.
The W cycles through leadership at a slightly concerning rate. Like, Val Ackerman was the president for, like, 9 years. Then Donna Orender came in. Lisa Borders is in there somewhere. I'm missing someone. But it's like they've had at the, either five presidents. I think Kathy's the first commissioner title. Mm-hmm. But between commissioner, they've had five since 1997. And again, Val had it for 9 years. So it's like in you have people who have used that position to land. Like, I think one of the ladies, I can't remember her name. I can see her face. She came from, like, the Girl Scouts. That was the big thing. Oh, no, she led the Girl Scouts. What the hell does that have to do with this league?
That's tremendous.
And then you have, you know, Kathy Engelbert, who's, like, a business person, which there's obviously a lot of business involved in this, but we've talked about the difference between business people and relationship people. Mm-hmm. It appears Kathy Engelbert is not a relationship person. And it is like, this is, they've all said it. NECA, Nafisa, Caitlin, everyone has said the exact same thing. This is the most critical stretch. This is the most critical time in the history of this league. And they cannot get it wrong.
No, they can't. And I think it's like, okay, they need somebody who knows relationships, business, and basketball. Mm-hmm. And branding, and knowing that we're at a time where, sorry, hold on, I'm putting up all these.
Not to say you're at your destination.
And who knows?
Well, sort of. I got to take them on a little walk, so we're all Gucci. give me one moment.
Speaking of Gucci, that's what that collar looked like. It was
probably was.
Oh, I don't mess around with high-end stuff for a six-pound dog. That's not what we're doing.
Wow.
Kim does.
Wow, you heard it. Not worth it. You heard it. Not worth it. Wow.
Ollie, you're not worth the... Are you going to jump or are you gonna mess around? You going to jump? No.
Look at this. This is... There isn't a show in the world that could do this. Not in the entire world.
Thank you so much. Have a great one. We're just, you know, we're just doing the best.
What part of New York are we in? Can we see like a building or a...
That looks like Queen's Child Project.
We're not on Staten Island, are we? Where are we?
This is Queens.
Can I ask you?
I thought it was Queens. Yeah.
Okay.
In Queens?
Okay. Okay.
Queens.
Take me to Queens at once.
Yeah. Braveheart. Okay, hold on. I'm trying to figure it out.
No, it's fine.
2 minutes.
Oh, 2 minutes. Okay.
Okay.
Two minutes. What? Yeah. Okay. Bye. I
oh man,
I say this all. I don't know how you explain our show. Like if Matt Nahegan,
yeah,
who lives, eats, breathes radio at 95.7, lives, eats, breathes sports talk at 95.7 in San Francisco. If he sat me down and said, I need you to explain your show to me, I don't think I could.
Yeah, that would be tough.
If Matt said, look, we're going to make a few changes and we're going to bring you guys over to 95.7, I'd be like, I don't think that's a good idea. Let's just not do this. Just, you know what? I quit.
Yeah, he would say,
he would,
what? That's what he'd watch.
So let's be clear. Your guest is walking around Queens with her dog, and she just said, hey, I'll be right back, and leaves, which is probably less odd than the time she walked her at some other place and the dog was just pooping.
Yeah, that was a classic. That was a classic.
Yep, let's bring Trista back. No, Trista's walking the streets
Matt
of New York
would
now.
Matt would be appreciative of the fact that we find a way to get OJ in the conversation at least once
a month. We regularly find a way to get OJ. And he's a fan of Trista. So
it's true.
He's just, he like you know, San Francisco and Sacramento are very different. And if Matt Nahegan oversaw this radio station, we would have been fired so
That's
long
not
ago.
True. Matt Nahegan loves me.
He does. That's what I said. He's a big Trista fan.
Yes, we would. He wouldn't be fired though.
Oh, I absolutely think he'd be like, "Look, man, this is not what I'm looking for." You know what? I just need Kyle Mattson to sit down and talk sports. That's what I need. You're out of here, pal.
He's always talking about being outside the box, though.
Well, can't get much more outside the box than we are.
We are literally outside of any box. We're in the real world, baby. We're touching grass.
That is correct. That is correct. And we're live from the W in Queens right now with Trista Crick. Okay, you're in New York. What did you think of? We joked earlier. You're there to set up this deal with Giannis and the Knicks. What did you think of that Shams report that seemingly came out of nowhere about these two having conversations a couple months ago?
Yeah, why didn't the deal get done then? That's the question that I have. If that's his intended destination, is it just that the Milwaukee Bucks haven't come to terms with the fact that Giannis is so out that he's not even willing to bring his family to Milwaukee anymore? They've just relocated to Athens, Greece. Mm. They don't want to live there. Did you guys see that?
Is that true?
I didn't see that.
Yes. Yeah, his wife and his kids now live full-time in Athens.
Oh,
they are
no.
not coming to Milwaukee. And so... At that point, you have to wonder, like, how close is the end?
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah, that was one of the reports. Yeah, that's terrible.
How close is the end? This is the last 10 minutes of
the
show.
Yeah, that's kind
of
the end for me.
It's over.
Yeah.
It's over.
Mm.
So the question is, when do you want to do this? Do you want to do this at the trade deadline or in the offseason?
So what if, and you said, why wasn't a deal made? The Knicks may have played all their cards. Maybe they can't make a deal for Giannis. Now, we talked earlier about what it would look like. You could, like, it's easy to match salaries with the Knicks, but the Bucks are going to want picks that the Knicks no longer have.
No, the Knicks gave up all their picks for Mikal Bridges and for OG Anunoby. And you know, to a degree, that's kind of it. I mean, you paid a lot for Mikal Bridges. Mm-hmm.
The killer,
I mean,
the killer though for Milwaukee,
and you can't trade
is,
him yet. Sorry,
I was just gonna say the killer for Milwaukee though. I don't think there's anybody that has the picks that would be trading for OKC, which I don't think would trade for him.
Well,
and
what about your boys?
Who?
Our Dubs?
They don't have the picks.
No,
they got no kind of asset management. Like you could.
Well, where'd their picks go? Miami?
Just over the course of years, they don't have any. Like they don't have, but they have Kuminga. That would be the one chip they have, but they don't
for 2 years,
yeah.
At best.
I don't think they.
Yeah, one and change. Yeah.
They don't have
you
enough.
Got that team
option. Right? Yeah.
They don't have enough. Last summer, this past summer, or whenever before they did the KD thing, the Rockets was the team that had it. They were contending. They felt like they maybe were a Giannis away. They had all these assets. They gave up a lot of those assets in the KD trade.
Mm-hmm.
The Spurs,
They've got young players mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. picks. Maybe that is a potential destination. But if
you're
Giannis,
in boxing, England?
Well,
yeah, salary works.
Well, but to your point earlier, Damian, if you're Giannis and you want to keep control, you push to get this done now. You can tell anybody. You can tell San Antonio or whatever. Trade all these picks all you want. I'm not staying here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to sign in City X.
Mm-hmm.
And that would keep teams like Utah or San Antonio or what from making that deal, even though they have the assets. I don't know who really has the assets.
How many years does Giannis have left on his deal, too?
Yeah, this year and next year. And then he has that 4-year 275 that they can offer him.
Which he will not take.
I mean, I would think the true Giannis sweepstakes begins next. Like, the thing hits the fan next offseason. Because the second he says no, the Bucks, it's over. Ticking. Like, it's like two. This man just said no to the richest deal in the history of the NBA. It's over. It's over.
Yeah, and at that point, I think if you're Milwaukee, you then really have even less leverage. Mm-hmm. Because if he's going to be a free agent the very next year, then you're talking about any other team, it's a rental. And so now you're forced to trade him where he wants to go and hope that that team, which apparently is the Knicks, has enough to entice you. And then you just realize you're not going to get the picks that you could have gotten last year if you would have moved on from Giannis. The trick is to move the player before they have all the power.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the whole point of this.
The problem is they might have lost that today.
Yes.
I want to correct something I said. The Warriors do have their picks.
Okay.
I'm looking here on the.
I couldn't figure out where they went. So that's good.
They do have all their picks. They got all their picks until. They got all their picks because there's
forever.
They don't have complete control over 2030, but they still have a first round pick. It looks like it might be protected in some sense, but they don't have any second rounders, which isn't that big of a deal, but they do have their first rounders. So all your picks, like four picks in Kuminga.
Yeah. Giannis and Steph.
Well, but that money won't work.
That's true.
Oh, that's true. I know how to make the money work.
Like Draymond.
There it is. Like there it is. Hey, you pull Draymond aside. Hey, pal. Gonna need you to do one last thing for Steph. Anything. One last thing anything. What is it? What is it? You're gonna go play in Milwaukee.
It's like when the mob boss is like, hey, you know you're my number two, right? Like, I love you. I'll always take care of you. I need you to do one thing for me. Eat these 20.
It's to get murdered. Yeah. I need you to go get murdered. That's what it is.
So I think the Warriors have the potential trade package. I think Houston actually does. While I'm on here, let me look. I think they still do have something, and they got.
Well, they didn't give up a ton of picks for Kevin Durant.
They got one in 2026 that's protected. They've got two in 2027, which, if I'm reading this right, one of them is Phoenix.
Oh, Phoenix in 2027. Gracious.
They've got their own in 28. They've got two in 29. They got their own. Houston still has all their picks.
Mm. Mm.
You throw in a sweetener in there. I don't think you would do it for a man, but Sengun in three or four picks?
You'd need to trade somebody with a lot big salary. So whoever's the biggest salary on there besides KD.
Fred VanVleet's expiring.
Fred VanVleet's expiring. That's what you do. Yep. And then
that's
you give
the truest
him picks.
Sentence you've ever uttered.
Poor guy. Fred VanVleet plus four picks and let Milwaukee try and rebuild with that. You'd probably have to throw in a young player. You'll probably have to throw in like a Reed Shepherd or
Tara
something.
Tara Eason. I give him Reed.
Yeah, Tara Eason. Yeah. Because they need something to build on, because they're not going to keep on the Fred VanVleet. They're not going to just want to do that, they need to have some asset that they can get their fan base excited about. Because the issue with small market teams, especially ones that are like Milwaukee, which are, in my opinion, much worse than a city like Portland or a city like Sacramento, because there's like nothing. I mean, you got Chicago there, but the weather's terrible. It's just like kind of a dead zone in the Midwest. I think it's harder to get a fan base excited and the national media to get excited about your team without a player of Giannis's caliber. Mm-hmm.
Houston, as I look at this, and I got to really like study this site a little bit more because they've done a good job with like color coding the number of picks instead of having to read. Mm-hmm. They've done a good job. I just got to make sure I know what it means. But if I'm reading this correctly, they got like 16 picks over the next six seasons.
Who does?
Houston. Houston? Between first and second round, they got like 16 picks.
Oh.
Damn. And they've got players. They,
yeah.
Man, they can do
they really
anything.
Did. Yeah, they really
I
did.
Wonder, though, if I'm being honest, I don't think that Giannis is an Ime Udoka type player.
I can see that. I can see that. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Giannis kind of is one of those guys that, like, is the sneak disser, you know, wants to have a lot of power while still maintaining his reputation as the nice, funny dad joke guy. It's kind of like a variant of LeBron, where LeBron's like behind the scenes trying to do power moves, but in front of the scenes, like Taco Tuesday, you know? And that to me is like Giannis, and it's starting to get more and more revealed. I don't think Giannis is going to want a coach that holds him to that level of accountability. Mm. You got Doc, you got Budenholzer. Those are players' coaches. And Giannis bullied him around, threw him under the bus. All good. But you're not going to do that with Ime Udoka because he'll threaten to punch you right in your mouth.
No, and he actually will. He most definitely will.
And he'll tell the media, yeah, I told Giannis I would punch him right in his mouth.
Go check into your hotel. Enjoy New York. We're tapping in this weekend.
That's right.
I'll see you from New York next Tuesday.
Hey, all right. There we go. Right on, TK. Right, we appreciate you. Trista Crick in Queens. Take me to Queens at once.
That's a good one.
We'll come back. We'll talk. Let's talk Kings basketball. That's what we really need to do.
People
also,
we're talking to.
Yeah. Can we have a brief discussion about what the hell happened to Mark Sanchez over the weekend?
Oh, man. Did you see the surveillance footage?
Yeah, saw that this morning. Yeah. Like, you... All right, we'll talk about it. It's D'Lo and KC on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
You're listening to D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.